A different week for us. I wasn't able to say last Sunday when we were here that we went down to Southern California to welcome our son who serves in the Marines, and he's now safely home on American soil, and we're so grateful. And so we weren't able to, you know, share that, you know, OPSEC, you know, is in effect. They don't want us saying stuff on social media and that because our enemies are watching and listening. So we try to be really careful about that. So we left Wednesday and got back at about 3 o'clock yesterday for the 6 o'clock service. And I was, those that were here last night, I was not all here last night. I was here, but I was not all, I forgot the name of my kids. I was like, yeah, what are their names, you know? It was rough. So I'm so glad. A great night's sleep in my own bed and all the travels kind of behind us because we knew this was coming at some point. You know, he'd be coming home, but with my Israel trip and then, you know, this, I'm home. I'm not going anywhere else. I'm excited to be home and glad to be here with you guys. He gave me, my son, he was going through his pockets, and he brought me some money from Vietnam. He had some leftover money from Vietnam, which is called dong. I was, Dad, would you like this? And I was like, yeah, sure, great. You know, I've got shekels and Australian money and pesos, and I just think it's fun. So I was in the car yesterday, and I was like, you know, 1,000, okay, a couple, you know, 2,000, you know, 10,000, 100,000, you know, like, wow, like maybe this is actually some money. So I did the, you know, so this is like 117,000 dong, and so I did the calculator on the internet, the conversion, it's like less than $5. I was like, thank you, son, you still owe me, all right? No getting away from that. So, let's see. Last thing I'll say is because of the kind of strange week that it was, and probably all things being equal, this would have been a great weekend, you know, to have had, you know, Pastor Jordan or Dallas or Dave or someone. So I'm whipping out this is the original iPad right here. So this is the Y pad, the yellow pad. And so I had to kind of go old school with my notes, you know, while, you know, Tracy's driving in the car and making my notes and stuff for the weekend. So I don't have my fancy iPad to be teaching from today. I've got the original Y pad, all right, the yellow pad right here today. Exodus chapter 23 is where we are. And as I mentioned last week, so we've been in this series in the book of Exodus, and so if you're new to us, this is message number 32, and so we're going to finish this series before Easter, or by Easter, because what we talked about last week was we're going to kind of shift gears from a verse-by-verse approach to more of a theme-by-theme approach, because there's so much happening now in the latter parts of the book of Exodus that are laws and rules and regulations and statutes and things today, still specific to the people of Israel that may be example. So we shared about, but we're not going to go as much verse by verse as we are theme by theme. And I want to give you another example. So we shared about that last week, another example of this right in front of our text in verse number 19, chapter 23. So if you look right above our verses, you've got this one sentence right before verse 20 that says, "You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk." Let's just close in prayer right now. Okay. So seriously, like this is another one of those, remember the life verse from last week, you know, if your ox gores a slave, you know, it's like, what in the world does that mean? This is not one of those verses you want to kind of point out as your, you know, as your life verse for yourself. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. But let me say something. You know, part of why this is here is because this was one of the pagan rituals that would take place in the land of Canaan where the people were going, where they would take a goat and they would boil it in its mother's milk, and they would take the milk from that, you know, ceremony, and they would sprinkle it on the edges of their property to ward off the evil spirits. So it was a very pagan ritual that they were involved in, and so God made it very clear, hey, you're going to see this when you get there. You shouldn't be doing this. I don't want you engaging in the practices of the culture that you're going to be in, so don't take, you know, a goat and boil it in its mother's milk. And this is where, if you were here for my Israel report a couple of weeks ago, this is where that kosher dietary law comes in, where you can't mix anything that is meat or dairy, because what if there's the chance that they're, you know, that they're from the same source. You know, what if the meat from the cow is and the cheese was made from, you know, the dairy? So no cheeseburgers. You know, cheeseburgers are not kosher. And so that's where this comes from, because they don't want there to be any notion. So that's how they've taken it. Thankfully, we're under grace, right? We're under the new covenant. We're under the banner of Christ, and In-N-Out Burger, the double-double is blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. I showed that picture at that report of my first meal back in the United States was a Carl's Jr. bacon cheeseburger. I put it up on the screen, and someone told me later, said, that's where I went for lunch that day. I'm glad you had that takeaway from the sermon. So enjoy your In-N-Out. Enjoy your In-N-Out for lunch today. Okay. All right. So we're in verse number 20 of Exodus chapter 23. So our custom is to stand as we read the scripture together. So stand with me, please. And let me read these verses to us today. Exodus 23, starting in verse 20 down through verse 33. Behold, I sent an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I blot them out, you shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do as they do, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from among you. None shall miscarry or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror before you and will throw into confusion all the people against whom you shall come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you and shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, Hittites from before you. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you. Little by little I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and possessed the land. And I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, from the wilderness to the Euphrates, for I will give you the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time we have this morning. Bless the teaching of your word, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. So how we typically handle these passages is we make some observations about the text, and then we have some takeaways. But I'm kind of doing things a little bit different because of not having the time I needed this week to fully develop everything. So I just want to give you three words to think about. And I don't know, did we end up making the inserts, Christy? Okay, so there are inserts around and stuff. Okay, great. That was one of the things that I was behind on this week for being gone. So if you want to jot these three words down, put them on the screen. Place, promise, process. Okay, they all begin with the letter P. Easy to remember. So place, promise, process. And I want to go through this text, look at these three words, and share some things that I hope will be a help, and then we'll have communion before we leave this morning, with it being the first Sunday of the month. Okay? So the first one, place. Place. He's preparing to give. All right? He's preparing to give. He says, right, God was preparing something for them. God did not bring them out of Egypt. God did not deliver them from their slavery. God did not deliver them from their oppression just for no reason. Okay, there was some place he was going to take them, and he wanted to be sure that they understood that it was a place he was preparing for them. There is purpose in deliverance. Okay, God did not deliver you for no reason. Okay, there was a reason. There's a purpose in the deliverance he's provided for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preparing the way for the people. And the promised land, you know, sometimes, you know, some of the old hymn writers, the old songwriters, you know, the promised land, like, you know, Beulah Land, it's the place where, you know, I'm going to be. Okay, promised land is not a picture of heaven. It's not a picture of because the promised land is full of walled cities and giants and conflict and war, and that's not what heaven's going to be like. But the promised land is this picture of the victorious Christian life. In Egypt, that picture of the old life and the life under slavery, the life under sin. And we've been delivered from that. And we're on our way to this place that God has prepared for his people. Drop this verse down. We won't go to it this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first 15 verses, talks about how, and it's within that text where you read, you know, here are God, the Lord is one, and thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And it says, remember, when you come into this place, you're going to go into cities that have already been built. You're going to enjoy vineyards that have already been planted. You're going to go into houses that have already been furnished. Remember all these things that God has prepared for you. Don't forget the blessings that God has provided in preparing this special place for you. So the place he's preparing to give. When we think about the place being prepared for us, we often there are two things that come to mind. Number one, there's that eternal life in heaven. There's that what we have to look forward to. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we look forward to the time that we will be with him. We'll read about that in John 14, 1 through 6. Jesus, he's getting ready to go to the cross, and he's trying to encourage, he's trying to comfort his disciples. Don't let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come back, receive you unto myself. And Thomas raised his hand like, we don't know where you're going. We don't understand what you're talking about. Can you explain it to us? And he says these words that are so incredibly profound. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And we read about this place that is being prepared for us. And one of the interesting things I discovered when I was in Israel was the way that they would talk about the family and the compound and the community that would be available. And so, you know, when the son was ready to get married, when he was ready to, you know, take that step and marry someone, you know, they wouldn't go out and build a house. What they would do is they would add a room to the house of the father. And it would be a room about the size of this rug. I mean, this would be the house. This would be where the family would live. No privacy, no doors, no curtains, okay? Everybody just in the same room all the time, okay? And what they would do is they would build on to the house a room. And then another room would be built, and eventually a compound would be built of the family. And so when Jesus, I know some translations say, you know, are many mansions, it's literally many rooms. In my Father's house are many rooms. And so it gives this idea that a room is being prepared for us. And I don't have to be the one building and preparing that room. That room is being prepared for me. Jesus is preparing a room for me in the Father's house. How cool is that? We think oftentimes in terms of, man, I can't wait till I'm in heaven and I'm going to have a mansion and it's going to be as far away from people as it can possibly be. I hate to tell you, that's not how it's going to be, okay? In the house is going to be many rooms, and we will have a room, we will have a space in the Father. How cool is that? And that space is being prepared, that room is being prepared for us, and we look forward to that eternal life in heaven that is available through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He said the words, and when it comes to Jesus, you have to take him for what he's either all right or he's all wrong. McDowell said it best. I mean, he's either a liar, he's a lunatic, or he's Lord. I mean, those are the choices. He can't be a good teacher and whatever and also be saying the words that he's saying and not believe them as true. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Do you know Jesus today? Are you part of the family? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Have you chosen to follow him with your life? Man, if you haven't, make that choice today. Decide to become a part of the family of God and recognize the fact that there is eternal life in heaven waiting for me and waiting for you because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. How cool is that? But number two, it's not just about the then and the there. It's about the here and the now. Because in addition to this eternal, and he talks about that in John 10, verse number 10, says the thief comes in to break in, to steal, to destroy, but I've come so that you might have life and that you might have it to the full, or that you might have it more abundantly. And there is an abundant life that is available to us as followers of Jesus Christ, even today. Now, that doesn't mean life isn't hard. That doesn't mean we don't go through difficult experiences and hardships, but it means in the midst of those things, we can experience blessing and joy. Last week, I talked a little bit about the filters, you know, that we have, and being careful of, and this is another one of those areas, that we, you know, we identify blessing as tangible things. There's nothing wrong with tangible things. There's nothing wrong with being blessed with a nice house or nice clothes or a car, things of that nature. But our blessings cannot simply just be tied to those things, because there's a difference between happiness and joy. Okay, happiness is based on our experience. Like, things are going well, the bills are being paid, everybody is healthy, things are going good in my life, I'm happy. And there's nothing wrong with being happy, all right? Be happy. But when things start maybe not going the way that we'd like them to go, they're not going according to our script, God's bringing some things into our life to test us and to try us, there can still be joy. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. And some of the greatest blessings of life are the things you cannot put a price tag on. One of the greatest blessings, the greatest blessing of my week, was hugging my son after being in the Middle East for 7 months. That was the greatest blessing that I experienced. You can't put a price tag on that. That's an intangible something. And God's blessing and the abundant life is not about abundance of things and abundance and accumulation of stuff. It is about receiving and understanding the blessing that comes from being a part of his family and knowing that he has a plan and a purpose for my life, that no matter what is happening in my life, no matter what's happening at the job or wherever around me, he's there. He's there, and I can rejoice in him always. And I'm not following after the God, small g, of happiness all the time, but I'm resting in the joy that's available to me because of the place he's preparing to give, the eternal life that's in heaven and the abundant life on earth. Okay, for those of you that are under the age of 30, this is how you swipe on the iPad, okay? You go like this. Okay? You don't go this direction. Okay, fun fact. All right, number two, promise. Okay, number one, place. Number two, promise. They're practicing to receive. Fascinating what you see here in the text. You know, if you do these things, then I will do these things. But if you carefully obey his voice, verse 22, and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. All throughout the Bible, there are these, if you do this, then this will happen. And it's all within the context of receiving the promises of God. This is not about a works-based salvation. It's not about I've got to do to receive his love. It's not I've got to perform so that he'll love me more. We're not talking about that. What we're saying is there are so many promises of God that are conditional. He says, this is what you need to do, and if you do this, then this will be the result. This will be the byproduct. Promise and practice are linked. Okay? Promise and practice are linked. Check out this statement on the screen. We're not obeying for the promise, but we won't receive the promise if we don't obey. Okay? Super important to get that. So it's not like, okay, I'm going to obey. I'm going to do what God wants me to do because I want stuff. Okay? No, you've missed the point. Okay? We obey him because we love him. If you love me, you obey my commands, right? Okay? So we obey for love. We don't obey to get, you know, from God. But we won't receive the promise if we don't obey. They are inextricably linked together. So jot these scripture references down. Jeremiah 29:11. Here's one of our favorite ones, right? I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. Yes, God has a plan for me. Put that on a bumper sticker, man. That's awesome. And it is awesome. But it goes on to say, because this is the case, You will seek after me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. So we want the promise of knowing God has a plan and a purpose and a future for us, but are we willing to say, I'm going to seek after you with my whole heart? Okay, promise and practice are linked. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. How many of us parents, we want to make sure that our children, as they're growing and as they're making their choices, man, that they're remembering the lessons that they've learned, and we're claiming that promise, and sometimes there's like long periods of parenthesis in that process, right? But the question is this, are we investing, are we training them up? We want the promise. We want them to be that way, but are we making them up in the ways of the Lord so that we can understand that? Practice and promise are linked. Malachi 3:10, here's the text about tithing and giving and the blessing that comes. And again, it's not that, well, man, I'm going to give so I can get. No, that's not how it works. Okay, but the blessing comes out of a heart of generosity. And we want, I mean, how many of you in this room, man, I would love to have some blessing when it comes to this area of my life, but I'm not giving anything. I'm not being generous with what God has given me. Practice and promise are linked. Isaiah 40:31, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Man, I love that promise. What's the very beginning of that? Those that wait on the Lord. I'm not so good at that. Yeah. I love the whole like, I would amount of wings like eagles, but I'm not so great about waiting on the Lord. Practice and promise are linked. And then probably the mother of all promises, Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. Yay! To those who what? Love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. Practice and promise are linked. And so when we look at this word, he says that you need to practice these things to receive. And as you think about, you know, all the different things that are said here, and it's like, wow, like, you know, as if you're a student of Scripture and you know a lot about the history of the people of Israel, they didn't experience a lot of this stuff that was promised. It's because they didn't practice. They didn't do the if part. And so God didn't do the then part. It was fascinating. Our tour guide, Ronan, on my Israel trip, he was always talking about, you know, possessing the land and conquering the land and all the rest. And, you know, just, and the reality, you know, his understanding of so much of the problems that are currently happening in the Middle East and in that country in particular are because God's people centuries ago didn't do what God asked them to do. Right? And they continue to bear the consequences of that lack of obedience, the lack of following through with the if, so that God could do the then. Practice and promise are linked together. God's love is unconditional. I want to make sure I'm very, very clear on this point. God's love is absolutely unconditional. There is nothing you can do to make God love you more. There is nothing you can do to make God love you less. But God's promises are conditional. It's all through the Bible. You can't get away from it. Okay, so that's number two, promise, things they're practicing to receive. And then number three, lastly, the word process. And we see that spelled out for us in verse number 29 and 30. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and possess the land. Little by little. He doesn't say, hey, as soon as you show up and cross the Jordan River and just the land is, it's just empty and open and just move on in, come on in. No, there's going to be some stuff that has to happen, and I'm not going to give it to you all at once. It's going to be little by little. There's going to be a process to what you're going to enjoy. And we totally understand this as parents with our children. You know, we maybe don't give them all that they can have, because it's not good for them to have all that they get at any one time. In our house, we call it the Kayla rule, okay? Who's now in college, so she's a lot better about this now. But when she was younger, and she would get sent money, you know, you send money to your grandkids, and you hope they'll buy something nice with it. And we ask Kayla, like, hey, what did you get with your money from grandma? You know, we're checking out at Walmart. She got Flamin' Hot Cheetos and Mountain Dew. We're like, Kayla, you've totally missed the point. It's like, get a shirt, get some pants, get a backpack for school, do something. Okay, Grandma did not send you money so that you can get Flamin' Hot Cheetos and Mountain Dew, okay? And the problem that we sometimes have is if God gave us all the blessing all at once, we'd be out buying a bunch of Flamin' Hot Cheetos and Mountain Dew. And God says, I can't give it to you all at once. I'm going to give it to you little by little by little. We give our kids their have Halloween. They've got all their candy. And then where does it go? It goes up in the pantry. Like, it doesn't go to her room. We give the Christmas stocking with all the cool stuff in it. Oh, that's great. Put it back in. Now we're putting it up here. Why? Because they don't need all that sugar all at one time. It needs to be little by little. You want to do a fascinating study. Look at the stories of previous lottery winners. Holy cow. And I had kind of just like sense, just kind of anecdotally what I've kind of heard, through the years. But when I actually did a search and started reading the various stories of people that just got this incredible, how many of us would be like, man, I would take $200,000, not even $1 million, let alone hundreds of millions of dollars, and just the ruin that causes some people. The divorces and the deaths and the suicides and the dysfunction, all that comes from this huge, incredible windfall. And God says to his people, I'm not going to give it to you all at once. There's going to be a process here, and it's going to be little by little. And you need to remember that. And we need to remember that. Good stuff. We want the answers now. I'm praying and I'm asking God for direction. I'm asking God to help in this situation, to open the eyes of this person's heart or whatever it is. And I've been praying for a week and he hasn't answered it. And God may say, I want you to pray for years for that person. I want you to pray for years for that situation. We're like, I want it now. I want the blessing now. I want the answers now. How about what the Bible says about the fruit of the Spirit? Man. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, all these, this wonderful list of things that are being developed in our life. Don't you just wish you could just, take two pills a night, go to bed, wake up in the morning, boom, fruit of the Spirit, 100%, I got them all going. And they're all locked and loaded, ready to go. All love, all joy, all peace, ready. Does it work that way? Nope, not for me. Okay? If you found the pill, talk to me after the service and we'll market it and we'll make a gazillion and then ruin our lives with the windfall. It doesn't work that way. There's a process that God is bringing us through and it's little by little. Sometimes we get so frustrated because, man, I wish my kids were growing faster. I wish my spouse was growing faster. I wish, let God work. Let God do his thing because he knows what's best. We talked about happiness versus joy a little bit earlier in the message. How about this one? Happiness versus holiness. And holiness in the sense of not just the righteous component of that, but the separated unto God for his service and for his work. And the reality of this statement that says God is more interested in your holiness than your happiness. And God will bring things into your life. He'll bring circumstances in your life. He'll bring people into your life to develop you and to grow you and to stretch you and to process his work in your life. Say, doesn't God want me to be happy? Not really. I mean, that's not on the top. That's not at the top of his list. Again, there's nothing wrong with being happy. Nothing wrong with things going well and rejoicing in those blessings. But when we chase after the little g God of happiness, we forget that God's working in our lives and he's using people and he's using his word, he's using his spirit to develop us and to grow us. And it happens so often, little by little. When I think about our story, and many of you know our story, so I don't want to belabor the point, but I do like to sprinkle it in from time to time. About that period in our life when we moved from New York back to California and weren't entirely sure, what God wanted us to do and what we were to be. And those were days of real struggle for us, living in an 800 square foot apartment and my three kids, this is where I forgot their names and ages last night in the message, living in a bedroom that was about the size of this rug, maybe a little bit smaller, three kids, a 16-year-old, a 13-year-old, a 6-year-old in one small room, and a dog and a cat, and, living on food stamps and government assistance. And they don't actually use stamps. They use a card. And my kids loved the card. They were like, "Dad, is there any money on the card? We can go to Papa Murphy's and we can use the card." And I was like, "No, we're not going to Papa Murphy's and using the card." Being on food stamps and working at Walmart then for $9.25 an hour overnight. And some really difficult days that we experienced. But we recognize now, in hindsight, in retrospect, God said, "Look, you're not ready for a church of 700 people at 1100 Garden Highway in South Yuba City. There was a process I need to bring you through. There's some things that I need to do in your life. There's some things I need to teach you about me. Some things I need to teach you about you. Some things I need to teach you about pride and humility. Some things I need to teach you about what blessing really looks like." And that was a tough season. But I look back on it now and I can see God working little by little. And I want to encourage you today, no matter where you are in your spiritual path, on your journey, in your adventure, to just take those next steps. What are those next steps that God has for you? To just start somewhere. We talked about giving earlier, man, I don't give anything. Start giving something. Just start giving something. Not because we need it. I love what the Apostle Paul says. It's not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that abounds to your account. You giving to God's work helps you. It blesses us, but it helps you develop that spirit of generosity that God wants you to have. To be serving, find a place, children's ministry, serving as an usher, a greeter. There are lots of areas around the church where you can get plugged in and just start, like one service a month. Getting tied into a small group, or, Wednesday night, it's the 1-3, so it's a midweek study that happens here, the first and the third Wednesday nights of the month. And this is a great, it's this week. Like, man, I've never been in a small group. I've never been in a smaller gathering of people. Check it out this week and just see what that's like and take that next step little by little by little. I want to encourage you to remember that today. Let's close and then we'll observe communion with Jesus. Bible says in verse number 20, it says, "Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him." You have lots of times in the Old Testament an appearance of, and it's not specifically designated here, but the angel of the Lord. And the angel of the Lord in many instances in the Old Testament is what we call theologically a Christophany. Okay, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Okay, Jesus Christ didn't start in the manger in Bethlehem. You understand that? Okay, his humanity began in the manger in Bethlehem. But Jesus has always been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit for eternity past. And there were times throughout the Old Testament where the angel of the Lord, which is the messenger, okay, the messenger of the Lord. We think of, white gown and wings, and that's not wrong, but angel doesn't just mean that. It means messenger. And so could it be that it was Jesus himself that comes to help lead the people to where they need to be? And I just love this admonition to follow his leading and to follow his guiding, because we are followers of Jesus. And I want to bring it back to what our mission is as a church. And it's so important to us, we put it on the wall. It's not graffiti. It's right over there. Check it out. Helping people become loving followers of who? Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. We want people to follow his leading, follow his guidance, who connect to God and others, who grow in faith and friendship, who serve our congregation and community, and reach locally and globally with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that, even in that, there is a process. They're not just purposes, it's a process. There's connecting to God in worship and to others in fellowship, and that's what you're doing right here. That's what this service is. This is our connection point, okay? So that is the first step in our discipleship, our disciple-making process, is to connect with God in worship and others in fellowship. You're here. Thank you for being here. But we don't want you just to stay there. We're glad you're here, but we want you to keep moving on your spiritual journey. And the second part of that process is to grow in faith and in friendship, to really understand, okay, what does the word say and how does it apply to me? And some of that happens here, I hope, okay? But it happens even stronger in a smaller setting. So Adventure Bible Fellowships at Linex that meet during the services, the small groups that meet in homes, the Wednesday night group that meets here, the first and third Wednesday of the month, all those opportunities to grow in faith and to grow in friendship. It's hard to develop really close friendships with people that you have, at best, a 12-second conversation with on a Sunday, right? It is for me. And so you get with smaller groups of people, and you get to really develop some friendship with some people. But we also don't want people just to become sponges, to sit and become sponges, like, look at all the great stuff that I know. We want you to serve. We want you to wring that sponge out and find ways in which you can serve both in our congregation, in children's ministry or in music ministry or media or coffee or whatever it is, but also in our community. We've got Be the Church Sunday coming up in a few weeks. And man, I'm so excited for Be the Church Sunday. And if you've never been a part of that, it's awesome. We shut down our services for the weekend and we go out into the community and we do service projects all over the place. And we be the church. March 18th. It's going to be awesome. So we'll have more about that to say in a couple of weeks. Because it's not just about serving ourselves. We want to serve our community, okay? And then we want to reach people. We want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then what happens is, as I'm connecting and growing and serving, and then I reach someone, and then they start their process, and they connect, and they grow, and they serve, and they reach, and they bring somebody, and they start the process, and over and over and over, and that's how multiplication works, and that's how God grows his church. And that's what I want to encourage you with today, to take that next, whatever that next step is. And God will show you. Just ask, God, what is my next step? Ask that question this morning, and God will tell you what your next step is. And follow through with that for his honor and for his glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the time this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for preparing a place for us, not just in the then and there, but in the here and now. Thank you for your promises, your many promises. Help us, Father, as we seek to link the promise with our own practice. Thank you for loving us, even when we fall short. But Lord, help us to strive to honor you and to live for you, not because of getting stuff, but because it's what you have us do, and to bask in that blessing and what that means, happiness versus joy. And then, Lord, just engaging in our process to understand that it's little by little. Lord, help us to be patient with each other. Help us to be loving on each other. Help us to be examining our own hearts and say what I need to do to take my next step, spiritually speaking. So, Father, I pray that you would just speak to hearts. And above all, I just thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he leads the way. Help us to be followers of him in all that we do and all that we say. And Father, thank you for this opportunity we have now to celebrate communion and to remember the sacrifice that's been made for us. We are so grateful. We will begin to hand out the elements for communion.